Today's daf is Kuf Mem Ches, and we're holding by the two dots, a quarter of the way down. Mi shenifaka yado, someone whose hand became dislocated. Ravavya hava yasef kamed Rav Yosef shani leyado. Ravavya was sitting in front of Rav Yosef learning, and he dislocated his elbow. So he was showing him, am I allowed to do this? How come I? Again, you'll need your audio, your video chip here. He says, also. How about this way? After all these demonstrations, he managed to get his elbow back into place. Anyways, Rabbi Yosef said to him, mighty boy, look, what are you asking? It's a beferish mishnah. I don't understand what you mean. Hatnan. Mi shenifreka yado o raglo. You see that the Gemara says you're not allowed to play around with a dislocation, either because it's machlokes and over here is there the din of tikkun gavra that's similar to tikkun mona, is it similar to beina that we found by kata, or is it bishum refuah? Seem to be rising. It's not that. Not as bishum shchika samamoni. But in any event, isn't it the Mishnah? Omarley, so Rav Avya said to him, well, yeah, it's the Mishnah, but you can't trust this Mishnah, can you? I mean, Omarley, it says in the Mishnah also, it also says you're not allowed to set a bone. And Rav Chana Bagarata quoted Shmuel as saying that Aloha Machzir Natashever. The Aloha is that we do set a bone on Shabbos. So what, apparently this Mishnah was a das yochid, and then we can't ask it. Omar le kula b'chada machita machino. But you're going to put everything into exactly the same weave. Because on one part we said it was a das yochid, so the middle of the whole Mishnah is a das yochid. Heichad yitmar yitmar, heichad alo yitmar lo yitmar. It depends where we find that we have a clear raya that he was tana that mishnah in the name of a yochid, like we found yesterday that he had the kabbalah of Yochanan that our mishnah is a das yochid. Fine, but where lo yitmar, we don't have such a raya, we can't say it. Hadron Allah Chavi. Let's see if you can do the rest of it. Now when it gets hard, we'll have to wait for Sabbath judge. You came just in time. You missed the Bali Neder, but at least you could say Sho'el Adam. El Adamek for the new parrot.
New parrot.
Not bad. Now we can give a functon again if you still have any breath. You ready to give us another functon? Because we were mafsik. We should do this every time. I'll tell you, it's my year of Shemayim, at the beginning of a parak to be sitting by our Sinai. Shoel Adam Michaviro, now that we have finished the various inyonim, and so on, we come to the next question, which is what happens if you don't have enough to eat? You gotta go and borrow some ketchup from somebody. What's the din? Sho'el Adam Michaviro, you're allowed to borrow on Shabbos and Yantav. Kade Yain v'kade Shemen. You can have containers of wine, containers of oil. Bilvachelo Yomarlo Halveni. You cannot say the word Halveni. Now in English, we're not makbid on the difference between Hashimleni and Halveni. But in Lashon HaKodesh, there's a major difference between the two. Because Hashileni, first of all, means to borrow something which will be returned in the same fashion. In other words, if I'm going to borrow your hatchet, you say, lend me your hatchet, it's understood to be a shevila. I'm not going to give you back money or a different hatchet. I'm going to give you back your hatchet, your lawnmower. If you say, lend me in Hebrew, you say, halveni, you're talking about something that you're not going to lend me money. That type of thing. So then you're going to give them back. You say, let me borrow some cash. You don't intend to give them back the same bills, obviously. You're going to pay them back. In Hebrew, those are two completely different concepts. And one is called a she'ela, and one is called halva. And there's another major difference, which is when you're saying she'ela, when you say she'ela, basically you mean to get it back quite soon. When you give a loan, somebody will borrow something, you'll borrow, let me borrow your hat brush. Doesn't mean he'll return it in 30 days. But when he borrows money, then indeed he has 30 days to return it. So those are two major differences between the two. And Lemaisa, Rashi and Tosfos disagree as to what the functional difference is between She'ela and Halva. Rashi learns that since She'ela can be demanded back immediately, somebody borrows a hat brush and then you say, okay, give it back, he has to give it back to you. He can't say, well, no, you lent it to me. Now I got 30 days to give it back. He has to give it back on the spot. Therefore, the person's not going to come to write it down on Shabbos. Because you use the lotion of borrowing, that means I'll take care of it right away. Mashenken, you say, Halveni, the guy psychologically begins to think in terms of lending money, that same type of thing. So he figures, I better write it down or I'll never remember, and he may accidentally write down on Shabbos again. Tosis doesn't like this pshat because he brings Rias, first of all, that there's an Indian of Stam She'ela is also for Shloshim Yom, which is, he himself admits, is pretty weak, because, I mean, just because Stam She'ela Shloshim Yom doesn't mean that if the guy wants it back right away, he can't say, I want it back, and get it back immediately. Mashenke Ba'alva of money, unless he specifies, he can't get it back right away. So, I mean, it would appear that there is such a difference. Nonetheless, says Taisus, the main point is that the lesson of She'ela gets something back in the same way it was given. So generally speaking, you don't think in terms of writing it down. Somebody borrows a hat brush, you don't write down, so-and-so borrowed my hat brush. But where somebody borrows money, then already okay. Over there, the point is he's not going to give you back the same thing. You see, if he's borrowing something else, he uses the lashon, let me borrow some wine, it's obvious as he doesn't intend to give you back the same wine that he drank, at least I hope he doesn't. And if that's the case, so then you're in a mode in which you write. So by making a hecker, not using that word, the big lamed word, then you're not going to come to write it down on Shabbat. Now in English, where we don't make this distinction, so we have a problem, what is the hecker then that would be made in English? So, I mean, it's a shaila whether maybe you should say, give me. Can you give me some wine? You know, can you give me a bottle? Right, instead of it being something, which generally speaking,
sometimes they can borrow. It's more of a short term.
As opposed to what?
Lend.
Borrow and lend, I mean, one is the borrower, one is the lender. It's not the two different
ones.
Well, if there is such a difference, fine. I mean, that can be argued, you know, but it's semantics. Yeah.
It works in
oil is equivalent to all other foods?
Yes. That's a very good point that Abba's making. The Mishnah seems to stress kada shemen v'kada yayin. And there are many who bring a raya from here. You can't just borrow things. It would have to be things that are nogeya, the dinim of Tanug and Shabbos or Simchas Yontev and so on. But you wouldn't be allowed, let's say, to borrow a book to read. You know, I mean, you could tie in it. That wouldn't. I mean, some want to make that diyuk that it's davka in terms of yayin v'shemen. V'chein ha'isha mi'chaverta. So too, a woman can borrow from a friend kikarot. Now, there's a special chiddush of borrowing kikarot, and that is because, at least according to many shitas, since kikarot do not have a particular weight to them. Now, it's a kikar of a balabayit. We're talking about people break their own challah. Break their own challah. You come and you borrow a challah. You're going to replace it with a challah. You're going to replace it with a smaller column, exactly the same column. You don't know. You'll replace it with a bigger column. So, I mean, what about the ribbis questions over here? So that's already a bigger chiddush, that even kikarot would be mutter to borrow and to return, because we forget about the dinam of halveni and shaleni, but there's also the question of what's known as abisa'a and so on, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. Ve'imei no ma'amino. Now, if you don't really trust this guy very much, and you don't want to let him have your oil and wine, so then, meniach talito etzlo. If you feel that the guy doesn't know you, again, you can't make an agreement, because that could come lidei ketiva. But you can put your watch down on the counter and forget it, and then the guy understands that he's got a way to collect the money, because he's gonna be able to keep your watch. So that you can do. Same thing can be true on Erev Pesach. Come to Yerushalayim, and it's Erev Pesach Shechal Yod B'Shabbat. So you need your Korban Pesach. You didn't buy a Korban Pesach before, you got in late, you know where to find an open Korban Pesach. Then you can do the same thing. You can be Meiniach Talito Etzlo. Leave your watch on the counter, take your Korban Pesach. Of course, over here, tomorrow, you're not going to be able to make a cheshbon either. It's tomorrow's yontif. You're going to have to wait till the Chol HaMoed in order. But you can't start talking about how much does it cost, what do I owe you. It has to be together as if it's all, we're just not even thinking about such mundane matters. We're thinking only about our mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, or Hakravas Korban, and so on. What are we getting into this itty bitty semantical issues here? No, there's a big difference, because hashileni lo ati lemichta. The word hashileni puts the guy on notice not to write. We'll see, that's what it really means. Because you don't normally write down she'ela, whereas halveni is normally a transaction that you do write down. Atila Mikta. Yeah, I mean, but come on. I mean, I came into Bechol Zimna Deboilam, Emelai Halveni, Vamelai Ashileni, Velo Kopit. I mean, guys, they use these words loosely. People will often say, yeah, I mean, you'll find today also the same thing. It's a little maddening to anybody who cares about language, but people will say, Talveli et Amiel Shelcha or something. I mean, you can't be Lovei Amiel. You're going to be Shoelam, but they'll say it anyway. Or they'll say, they'll use she'elan, yechol lishol mimcha chamisha shkalim. What do you mean lishol mimeni? You're going to give me back the same chamisha shkalim? You want me to lend you, you mean chamisha shkalim? So the people use it basically without hakpada. So then the guy could come to write it down anyway. I mean, bottom line is, we're dealing with money. So he knows that the underlying nature of the transaction is that it's a money transaction, which is essentially a halva'a. So why won't he write it down? I mean, why does a word that no one pays much attention to, why does that word become enough to be martyred on Shabbos and Yontif? Omarlei, I'll tell you why. Because b'Shabbos, given the hashileinu hudeshar le'rabbanan, halveni lo shorulei, the very fact that you're jolted into thinking, oof, and he couldn't have said halveni now, could he? He said she'elav. Oh, that's because today I got to be careful not to write. Min kara milta, that itself, the fact that you need to be careful, and now the word suddenly does come to mean something technical, and it needs to be paid attention to, is sufficient in and of itself to keep you in mind of the fact that you're not allowed to write. V'lo atila michtav. Omele rabba barav chanela abaye. In general, now this is really based, and the fact is there was another Gersa in the Gemara that actually brought a case of carrying on Yontif, that you should make it easier to carry by carrying it over a long pitchfork, so it shouldn't be too heavy on your shoulders. But we don't have that Gersa, and it's clear that many of the Rishonim didn't have that Gersa. But we're bringing in, basically, by building on a sugya in Beitza. It's now that we've discussed Shinui, in terms of borrowing and eating things that you're going to need to eat for your Simchas Yontif. So we're already talking about the aspect of shinui, making a shinui in order to be makpid on Kedushas Yom Tov and Kedushas Shabbos. So therefore, ask the Rav Baruch Chanan Tabaye, Mich, look, I mean, Omer Rabbona, Ko Mili de Yom Tov, Kama de Efshe L'Shinuyi B'Shanina. The Rabbona said, anything that, even when you're mutter to do it on Yom Tov, we try to do it in a way to remind you that it's Yom Tov and to keep the Kedushas Yom Tov. So why is it that Hani Nashin Demayin Chatzbayu Maya? I mean, women go down to the well or to the town pool. They fill up these big water containers with water. And I mean, it might as well be a market day. I mean, you see people dragging water on Yom Tov. Shouldn't they make a shinui of some kind? I mean, my time alone is Shanina. Why is there no shinui on such tircha that it just feels like a day of chol? And he answered him, well, what would you suggest? It's not really possible. What would you suggest? Shem Tamal Efshir. Heki Lav. What should we tell them to do? Demayin Bekatz Baraba, Limlu Bekatz Bazuta. What do you want to tell them? You want to tell them, instead of taking the big bucket, which weighs a ton, why don't you take something smaller that you can carry so it'll look more yontifted? That means you're going to end up having them walk three times as often. You're going to have to go walk back and forth. That's also dear. That's better. So you're going to tell them the Maya Bachatz Vazuta Limma Bachatz Faraba. You know what? Maybe you should use a larger container. That way you won't have to walk as much. Then they're already going through the extra tircha, carrying something that's heavy and is uncomfortable. That's certainly not called a greater shmira of Yom Tov and a greater tainug. Should we say, okay, so you know what, put a nice little lechavad Yom Tov tablecloth over it. Should say lechavad Yom Tov. Like your mechabed nowadays, your telephone. Over the telephone, it says Shabbos or Yom Tov, you know, to remember to use your phone on Shabbos. So should we do that? Asili de schita, that's not good, because what happens if it gets wet? If it gets wet, you're going to squeeze it out without thinking. Well, we're going to be, in order to get a greater Kedushas Yom Tov, we're going to put you in a matzah where you may end up Chilul Yom Tov. Nah, doesn't make sense. Nechasya b'nach tama. You say, okay, so what does it have to be? An embroidered lekavod Yom Tov? Why can't it be a silver lekavod Yom Tov cover? And then it'll be okay to carry it on Yom Tov? Nah, because what happens if it falls? Zimna de mifsik vati lemiktere. It may fall off. And you see that it falls down, so you'll tie it on, and then you'll be over on making a knot on Yom Tov. So there's nothing really to do. Yilkachlo efshu. We don't make takonas that don't have a clear-cut definition that isn't going to make things worse on some level.
Yeah. Rabbi, can I just go back for a moment on the following? If someone borrows wine or bread on Shabbat,
yeah.
Isn't there an understanding 30 days? Don't you have to replace from Yesh to Shabbos? Or an understanding that you replace in 30 days or no? How, what, without anything said, just somebody might wine, you're going to replace it with a different bottle of water or bread. Don't have 30 days, do you? The truth is that the norm is koveya, but according to Rashi, it could be that you really do.
And since you're saying it like that, so there would be the lashon that you're using. If you said,
if you said,
so then for sure not. What do you mean? I thought you said if you said it, it's sir. If Hashimay, the dafka doesn't mean that. Everything's great. Right? That's why for dafka we're doing something that you get back right away so you don't come to write it down. That's Rashi's whole approach. That's the whole point.
Understood that you'll return
no, no, of course it means right away. That's why you won't come to write it down. Okay. Exactly. The next question. Furthermore, Vormelei Rav Baruch Chanan Labai. Another thing that bothers me is this business about people doing these Karlbach dances on Yom Tov. I don't understand that. It says, lo misapkin, ve lo metapchim, ve lo merakdim b'yom tov. It says you're not allowed, basically, to clap your hands, not allowed to bang on your chest. Rashi learns generally the loshon metapchim, because But the problem is, because that's a lotion of Avelut, which is from the Konanot, Tosfos says, how could that be what it's referring to over here? You couldn't even do that during Chol HaMoed. It's usher to show tzar and anything in terms of mourning. So how could the metapchin over here be a sign of mourning? Must be referring to metapchin in terms of a different type of dance. Not dance, but a different type of clap. Well, maybe drumming against something, but something like metapchin, which is kaf al kaf. So metapchin would be something similar, but it would be a lashon of simcha. Certainly not, maybe turn it off and try to leave to get it going again. Certainly not a lashon of avelus, but in any event, dancing is certainly awesome. And the kachazin and davnin and loam rin of loam midi. People run around all the time, dancing on Yom Tov. Turn it off. Are you impressed? Oh, okay, just wait back on it. Okay. And nobody says anything. They have these minyanim where people jump up and down and they dance and they clap and it's usher and nobody says anything. How do you explain that? So Abaye said to him, "Nu v'latimech, let me ask you something. Hodi Omar Rava, lo li sevina shapuma de lechaya. Remember Rava's famous dictum, Richie.
Remember Rava's.
Come back. Lolesi vinish apuma de lechiya, a person should not be sitting right at the edge of the lechi in a mavui. Duma mingan de lechefet, because since when you're sitting up at the edge, you don't distinguish between, it's all over. You don't see the lechi when you're at the edge of the lechi. So there we should be afraid maybe something will roll out. And without thinking, since it's within the arba ames, the guy will think he could just pull it towards himself. But he can't pull it towards himself. Can you turn off the cooling? You push this button. And that kills it. So I'm going to the other. Because maybe he'll carry it. And if you take a look at the way people behave, it should say nashi. We see women. The mostly they sit chatzbaya, they sit down, set down their containers right at the gateway of the mavui, and they sit there. V'lar minalu v'lo mina. Did you ever see anybody tell them, "Lady, move into the mavui"? Yeah, I dare you. Go ahead, you try. So how do you explain the fact that people get away with murder? Because hanachli yisrael mutav shushogim v'lo yumezidim. You know. They're not going to listen to you anyway. So what do you got to make them be over Averis for? Badafka, at least like this, they think they're doing the right thing. So don't tell them, since they won't listen to you. There's no point in telling them. Sobermine. So he thought, that's only true on an Issa Rabbana, but not on an Issa D'Oraisa.
Don't tell them.
On an Issa D'Oraisa, you should tell them. Yeah. Velohi, but that isn't true. Loshna b'drabbanan, v'loshna b'diraisa. It doesn't matter if it's a rabbanan diraisa, and I'll prove it to you. Because Tosefet, Yom HaKippur, is a diraisa, is it not? The fact that you're not allowed to eat up to the last minute before Yom Kippur, you have to add a little bit from Chol HaKodesh. That's also a chiyuv diraisa. Don't you see people sitting and eating and drinking to the last minute? Nobody says anything. So it must be that even though it's an Issa D'Oraisa, on something that people don't know about, they believe that it's okay, and you try to tell them it's not okay, then they're just going to walk away. And now they'll do it bedavka because you don't know what you're talking about. So what do you need to get them involved now in Issa for? Let them do it. It's better. Again, there's a lot of different shitas about how far this goes. There are many Rishonim, Taina, and many Paskin this way, La'alocha, that this is only where it's not well known that this is an Issa. If people know it's an Issa, then there's a chiyuv of tochacha. In other words, if they're doing it as it's usher anyway, so then why shouldn't you tell them? There's no svara to say, mutav shushagim lo yumezidim. There are others who say, basically it boils down to the question of whether they're going to pay attention to you. I mean, the Shlomo Melech says, Al tochach leitz. Al leitz. You don't give tochach to. They'll just hate your guts anyway. What are you going to achieve by it? So you don't do
there
such a thing.
Stones, no
correct. So because of that, and the Shalah says, to go say something, even where the guy knows, where all he's going to do is be more mezalza than Torah, even if it's derisive, so what's the point? The din of tochach is a mitzvah leimar dover hanishma, not to be bring a person until he's more mezalza than Torah. So even if it wouldn't be something that's well known, lemaisa halachically, I mean, it seems it's absolutely clear that it's just going to cause the guy to be worse, that if he knows about it but thinks that it's not so important, that then you should tell him. If he doesn't know about it, and the assumption is that he's not going to listen because this is the way that everybody is knowing in his society or his group of people, then it's not worth telling him. It makes it worse for him, not better. Chiyuv of tochach is to make things better.
How does this differ when we had a pasuk earlier?
Hashem
protecting a simple one. How is this different?
Why is it negiah? It's not negiah isur v'hetan. It's just negiah hanhogen. V'chein isha michaverta kikarot. The next thing we said was the case of borrowing bread. You can go in, borrow a challah from the next door neighbor. As the Gemara, so you're saying that what? That on Shabbos you can't say halveni, right? Why? Because we're afraid you'll write it down. But apparently, behold, to make a deal like this during the week and to say halveni, that would be okay? Does that mean that the Mishnah is not going according to Hillel? Because Hillel said, Lo talve isha kikar lechaverta ad sheteyasena damim. That bechlal, a woman should never make a deal of borrowing a kikar. She should first define its value. So in other words, she said, you know what, let me borrow a 10 shekel worth kikar from you. Because that way, she's paying back 10 shekel. So that would be okay, but otherwise we're afraid that if you give back the same thing. Now, as I said before, there are those who hold that this is only by kikarot. Why? Because they're not precisely the same. Or because chitim change prices often. So shema yukru chitim. It's not something where there's a shuk that's kavua. V'nimtzu ba'ot they rebeat. If you pay back an actual kikar, the kikar you pay back may be worth more than the kikar that you borrowed. So you borrowed something worth $5, you gave back something worth $5 and a nickel. So that's ribis. Therefore, you have to turn it into dummy. So the Mishnah over here that says that the only problem is ktiba, apparently is not like Hillel. Gentlemen, and says the Gemara, afilu tema ki Hillel. It could work out fine, according to Hillel too. Haba ata de kitzdame, haba ata de lo kitzdame. There are locations that have a set price, which varies very, very little. So memela, those things that are generally going to be worth the same thing when you give it back, we're not makpid. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Hillel is talking about where there's volatile differences in pricing. This is something that you may not return right away. Maybe you'll wait till... You wait till you return a collar a week later. A week later, who knows what's going to happen to the market? That's like playing currency, you know? I mean, you never want to do that. Put your money into a currency and then don't look at it for a week. Not in today's world.
Let me borrow a liter of gas.
Ah! There you go. That would be unbelievably dangerous, man. That's real rebeat. So, over there, it's definitely volatile. So therefore, it could be the Mishnah is talking about an act of the kitzdame.
Whether it's this challah or 5 cents more challah.
Okay, there's that inyan also, but that's only for Tamei Chachamim, where they know the difference. The imei no ma'amino. So then you can leave your talit. Now, and if you didn't leave your talit, what's the deal? I mean, can the guy take you to court, or what exactly is the status? Suppose you actually had made a halvah. Don't you, Malvin? Or generally, even when you say she'ela, we know what you really mean, don't we? We know you mean to pay back money. You're not going to bring him back another animal instead of the carbon pesach. That tummy is looking very attractive. It's got a nice, powerful piece of Gemara right up against it. It's almost irresistible.
Just in his defense, I mean, if the MP3 player loses his memory when it runs out of gas.
So what would be the thing? Itma halva'at yom tov. Rav Yosef amir lo nitzna litaba. Rav amir nitzna litaba. Somebody who borrows something on Yom Tov. So Taina is Rav Yosef. You can't go into Beit Din and sue a guy for something that wasn't really a kosher halva. Whereas Rava says, what's the difference? Rav Yosef says, look, I mean, if you're going to make this into a halva, I mean, what's the whole point of the mission to avoid a halva, right? So it doesn't make sense to turn this into now a legally supportable transaction, because by definition, we're trying to avoid a situation in which somebody's going to write something down. You're turning this into a legal transaction that can be enforced by the court, so obviously the guy's going to write it down. Elamai, the whole point is, take your chances. That's the only way in which we're going to be able this type of non-legal transaction on Yom Tov. Rava says, on the contrary, if we don't allow him to sue in court, who the heck is going to put himself into this situation? What is he, a friar? So therefore, he's not going to give him anything where he's got to take a chance that this guy is going to be honest. And therefore, you got to worry, therefore, he's not going to be able to get what he needs for Yom Tov. And then that's a greater concern from us.
Is there a mitzvah to
follow? So now, ask the Gemara. It says in our Mishnah, Imei no ma'amino. If the guy doesn't believe him, meiniach talito etzlo. So what is the point of leaving the talit? I mean, isn't it obvious that he leaves the talit in order for the guy to be able to get his money back? You don't pay me, I'm going to keep your watch. But if you didn't leave your watch, it seems to be that he wouldn't have any recourse. Because here it says, but if you're going to tell me that you could sue him anyway, so what's the point of leaving the talit? I mean, anyway, if you take him to court, atil mitzvah. Come on, I mean, so as Rabbi Yaakov said, if that's the case, nobody should ever take a mashkin. And that's the whole point. You're kidding. I'm supposed to take you to court in this country? You got to be crazy. So what am I going to do now? Spend the next 15 years collecting my 35 agorot? Yeah. So I'm not interested in going to court. I'm not interested in selecting dayanim. You want it, you can leave your watch. I mean, of course, you can't say that. But that's basically what the point is. Mati Ravida Barabin Hashochet Tapara Vichilka the Rosh Hashanah. Somebody now prepares a meal on Rosh Hashanah and he divvies it up over here on between his various buyers who buy on credit, and it happens to be Rosh Hashanah of the year after Shviz. And now we got a problem. Why? Because Shemitah is Mishametet in its last day, right? And here the guy sold on credit. So now the question is like this. Im haya chodesh me'ubar. So if it turns out that Elul, saved by the bell, that Elul was me'ubar, meaning that the first day of Rosh Hashanah was actually the last day of the previous year, because it was the 30th day of Elul of the year. So then it turns out that he made him a loan on Shviyas. And therefore, if you make a loan on Shviyas, the last minute of Shviyas is Mishamik, you can't collect. So then you have a problem? On the other hand, if not, if it turns out that the first day of Rosh Hashanah was really the first day of Tishrei, Imla, they know Neshamit. Now, I don't understand. If anyway, you can't collect this loan, which is what Rabbi Yosef is saying, that anyway you can't collect it, so what are you talking about? Is it Mishamet or not Mishamet? There's nothing to be Mishamet. It wasn't a legal loan anyway, right? So my Mishamet. Ah, but you forget. Because if it turns out that it was the 30th of Elul, it wasn't Rosh Hashanah, was it? And Rabbi Yosef only said a loan made on Yontif is a problem loan, but otherwise it's not. But it wasn't Yontif. Turns out it wasn't Yontif. So the mail, it was a loan. So if it was a loan, now you got to wonder, can you collect it? Comes along now, the Gemara tells us, you can't collect it because of another problem. You can't collect it because it's Shemitah. So you're dead one way or the other. So you say, wait a minute, if you're dead one way or the other, so what's the point? And if it was, and if it was Rosh Hashanah, so there's no Nafkamina anywhere. So fine, Shmias, yes. Look what it says over here in the Sefer. That's Rami Sefer. Imla, but if Elo was not Mubar, so then Eino Mishamed. What do you mean Eino Mishamed? What does Mishamed have to do with it? Dishlein, if you'll tell me, not like Rabbi Yosef, the way Rabbah was learning, that the din is that you can collect the loan. Fine. So Haini Diktani, Eino Mishamed. That's why I got to find out whether Shmita is Mishamed or not. But if you're telling me no nitnali taba, you're telling me anyway you can't collect the loan in square. So what's the difference? If Shemitah is Mishamed or not, you can't collect it. So why are we discussing this issue? Forget about it. Because you're unable to collect whether it is Rosh Hashanah or not Rosh Hashanah. So Michlal, if you're telling me that he's not able to collect, and it's only because of Shemitah, then you tell me normally you could collect. Says the Gemara, no, there's a big difference. The difference is that if it comes in the Sefer that Shviyas is not Mishamed, so then if the guy is a good guy and pays you back the loan, then you can collect it. You can accept it from him. So what are you saying? And if it was Shemitah, you can't collect? You can't accept it from him. So what are you saying? Bechlal de Reisha. Now what, if it turns out that it was actually the last day of the previous year, so then Iyagli lo shakil. Everybody knows that if somebody pays you back a debt on that was a Shemitah debt, you can still accept it from him. So if you're talking about accepting it from the guy, so what's the difference? Again, it makes no difference. If Shemitah is Mishamet, you can accept it from him. And if it's a loan on Yontif, you can accept it from him. And if he doesn't pay you, if Shemitah is Mishamet, you can't collect it. And if it was made on Yontif, according to Rabbi Yosef, you can't collect it. So what's the difference? I don't understand what you're saying. No, the difference is that if in the Reisha, where it turned out that it was the last day of the previous year, so then you'd have to say, if he gives it to you, you'd have to tell him, hey, listen, Mishamet ani, you don't have to give it to me. It's Shemitah, you don't have to give it to me. Then if the guy says, Afal Pikein, I want to give it to you, you accept it. Masha Enkein in the Sefer, you don't have to say, you don't have to give it to me. It's just because it's not Chas V'Shalom, the guy doesn't owe you the money. Of course he owes you the money. The only you just got back from China. I know how to do this.
Somewhere.
Oh yeah, with big shouts, they know how to do it. I gotta practice. It wasn't a very frightening shout. A little sore throat in here. But wait till I practice. Wait till my voice is. No, don't wait. Don't wait. No. Those karate yells.
You're the samurai. Sir.
Yeah, samurai.
Cattle prod.
Yeah.
Well, we have one. Yeah. So this guy is too moral.
He felt it. That is liability issues at that thing. We'll just have to turn up your rule.
So, therefore, that would be the nafkamina. Okay. So, ask the Gemara like this.
Why didn't they want to use in the tunnel system, you just give it here, there's a condition.
The question is, can you sue him or not? That's the question. That's the question. It's the only thing we're talking about. Somebody borrowed something from you on Yontif, can you take him to court with this type of system or not? That's the machlokes. Question over here is whether we're more makbid on the chashash of writing, which is Rabbi Yosef Steiner, or we're more makbid on the chashash of Maniat Simchat Yom Tov, which is what Rav has approached, and what Gersa we have. Again, we've got now to bring a raya from this very interesting case of Rosh Hashanah. We're not certain whether the first day of Rosh Hashanah was the first of Tishrei, or the first day of Rosh Hashanah was the last day of Elul. This makes a tremendous nafkamina if it's a Mitzvah Shmita. So, according to Rabbi Yosef, our problem is it shouldn't make any nafkamina, because we're Manusha. If it's Shmita, you can't collect it because it's Shmita. If it's not Shmita and it's Rosh Hashanah, you can't collect it because it's Rosh Hashanah. So what's the difference? Answers the Gemara, there is still a difference. The difference is, if it's Shemitah, when the guy comes to pay you, anyway, despite its being Shemitah, you'll have to tell him, listen here, you don't have to pay me. Mashain Kain, if it's Rosh Hashanah and he's paying you anyway, and not waiting for you to sue him, you don't have to tell him, you don't have to pay me. Of course you have to pay me. Because Rabbi Yosef is only saying you can't take him to court, but it's certainly your money, and you can accept it. So that makes sense.
Shabbos?
Same din in this, yes. Let's just finish up the raya. Kiditzana magzir chov b'shvi'it. Somebody who returns a chov that had been canceled by Shemitah, yomar lo mishametani. He should tell him, I don't demand this, I want you to know. V'ima marlo afal piken. If the guy says, but I want to give it back to you anyway, yekabel mimenu. Mishum shenemar v'ze devar ha-shmitah. The Vara Shmita means it should be articulated. Articulate it. Say, it's Shmita. I don't need it. Rav Avya, in order to avoid all these problems, Rav Avya would take a mashkan. And that way, he wouldn't get into this. Like we said, Rabba Barula Mari Marumi. Rabba Barula wouldn't take a mashkan because he was afraid that that would make it appear that it was... He was concerned already for repayment, would make it more likely that it would be written down. But what he would do is he would be ma'arim, and he would meet the guy after Yontif and just manage to slip his wallet out of his pocket and keep it, and then ask for his money. He was good at that kind of thing. So, well, he's a pickpocket. In other words, he would take something of the guy. And after the fact, so to speak, to collect, and that went, no, it's his own money, he owes him the money. And then he would ask the guy for the money. And if the guy wouldn't give him the money, then you'd like your watch back.
And how's that made you?
Because that's done afterwards, and if there's no chashash of writing it down on Yom Tov. Now, you can also do not, you can take your money, it's my money.
Okay. But that was if it was a loan, not really a gift.
It is a loan. It wasn't a gift. Nobody says it was a gift, as we've already established. So now the Shaila is like this fascinating, fascinating issue that's very much an aside, mm-hmm. but that turns out, and of course it's amazing because it comes out right at the right time. The question is, because Yosef brings a shita that it's a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So there are those. What can you do? There are those who bring a raya from this Gemara that's certainly not true.
You're talking about the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. Okay. Eat at night. What's the problem? No, can't eat at
the
night.
Day,
it's not Yom Kippur. Eat at night. I don't want to tell you that because it ruins the raya. But there are those who bring a raya against this shita from our Gemara. Because the Gemara is bringing a raya from Rabbi Yosef and Rabba, and it's in Bishlam, if you hold like Rabba or like Rabba again, depends what our gear says. So then everything works out, but it shouldn't work out according to him. Because if there's a mitzvah to be misana on Rosh Hashanah. So what are we saying? We allow you to sue him in court because otherwise you may not lend him, and therefore he'll end up not having his simchas yontif. What do you mean? It would be a mitzvah if he didn't have simchas yontif anyway. He's supposed to be fasting. L'maisa, of course, there's always the night time. But I mean, since the Gemara is mashbits at any time during the day, you can borrow it during the day too. It's not that mashbits after night. All right. But you can see how cute it is that the Sukkah should be nagia that issue. V'chein Erev Pesach. Now this gets into another problem. Because if it's Erev Pesach and it's a Shabbos, and the din is you're not allowed, can you take off Trumas and Maisers? No. You can't be magdish things on Shabbos. So what good is it going to do you to go to a guy who's going to sell you an animal and make a deal with him that you can take the animal? But how are you going to make it kodesh on Shabbos? Omer Rav Yochanan, magdish adam pischo b'shabbat v'chagigato b'yom tov. Says Rav Yochanan, look, it's very simple. If l'maisa, somebody is going to be bringing a korban on Shabbos, or he's being mechalal Shabbos for the korban, that's the mitzvah, the mo'ado, right? You're going to be bringing your korban chagiga on yontif. No. So once you already are doing it for Shabbos and yontif, then you can be magdish also. You're doing the malacha, kosher king. You can do the hegdish. Name him Isayel. Let's see if we can bring him a raya from our Mishnah. It says, v'chein erev pesach b'Yerushalayim, shechal liyot b'shabad, meniach talito etzlo, v'notelot pischo v'aseimo chishbon achri yontif. Here it says, I mean, here there's hundreds of thousands of people. Obviously, you're going to go to a person selling behemoths, has no idea who you are, he's not going to remember. Over there, it's double poshut. So you leave your talis. Fine. You leave your talis, come back after Yontif during Chol HaMoed, you make a cheshbon, how much you owe. But how did you make it hekdesh? It's got to be that it's mutter to be makdesh. So this is a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Maybe what it's talking about over here is not that you're buying an animal. Maybe the case over here is somebody has an animal. He was already magdish his korban pesach, and you want to join. You want to join his chabura. So you're not allowed to negotiate with him the price of joining the chabura on Shabbos. So you leave the talis, and after yontif, you'll make a cheshbon with them how much it costs to join the chabur. In which case, mikor migdash hekoy. It was kodesh before. But, v'anantan ein nimnen ala behema b'tchila b'yontem. I thought it says you're not allowed to now be monoy on it. No, shani ochakim the rogel etzlo, kamad nimne b'mikor adoni. That also is not a problem. Because since it's talking about over here, a case where you know him, and when you know him, then he already included you. Many are not gerus, this entire thing, because ein nimnim is basically not halacha in Korban Pesach. It's a general din on Yontev, and why would we bring a raya, as Tosu says, from a dover that's not a dover shal mitzvah to a dover shal mitzvah? Ein nimnim betchila means because you're going to get involved in wondering about costs. You don't want to join a picnic where everybody's paying into the picnic, and you're not going to, we're afraid over there, okay, fine, you may come to deal with the costs on Yontif. But over here, where it's the day of the Korban Pesach, I mean, isn't that the whole point? So therefore, they're not goris, this whole piece.
But if he knows you and you've been doing this every year, why would you have to leave the palace?
Because he knows you well enough not to trust you. Votani Rabosha. Olech Adam etzo roe haragil etzlo v'notein lo tlele pischo. Umagdisho the Yotsebo. Look, can we get it straight? Can you get it any clearer than this? It says in this brisa, you go to a shepherd who knows you, he gives you a tleh, you're magdish the tleh, and you can be Yotse. Now, do we want to start arguing over here whether you can be magdish the tleh or not, or are we ready to accept the fact that when it says you're magdish to tlet, means you're magdish to tlet, or you're going to keep fighting on this? Well, maybe it's talking about that it's a roe, I mean, it says a roe, so you know him, He knows every year you come there. So maybe he figured Joe's going to show up probably the last minute, and at Shabbos, I better be Magdish this for him. So he was really Magdish it before. Oh, really? Can we look at the words again? I mean, it says Magdish, Magdish of the Yotze. Well, doesn't that mean Magdish? So how are you going to explain that? It means you should say, this is Kodesh for my Pesach. It's just a Hegdish Iluy. It's just because it's a mila to say it, that's all. But of course, the owner himself should say it, but he's not really being Magdish. So maybe that's not a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, we're not saying he's wrong. We're just saying we haven't found 100% a source for him. That's right. But wait a minute. Did Rabbi Yochanan say that you can be Magdish on Yontif? On Shabbos? Mi'omer of Yochanan Hachi? Mi'omer of Yochanan Halacha Kistam Mishnah? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan always pass him like a Stam Mishnah? And we have a Stam Mishnah that says that Ein Magdishim Ve'in Marichim Ve'machrimim Ve'lomad Bein Trumotu Masrot. And this is even said, this is a Beitza, Kolelu B'yomtev Kavachomer B'Shabbos. So that means that Rabbi Yochanan Paskins like this mission. The mission says B'Feir is Lo Magdishim. So how could Rabbi Yochanan have said over here that you can be Magdish your Korban Pesach? Lo Kasha, Kan B'Chovot She'Kavu Alem Zman, Kan B'Chovot She'en Kavu Alem Zman. Where do we learn in Beitza that you cannot be Magdish? That's talking about where you can bring the Korban at any time. Your Korban Pesach, you can't bring it any time. Your Chagigas Yontif, you can't bring it any time. It's now or never. So if it's now or never, the Mishnah never said, Lo Magdishim, Lo Marichim. And that was what, I mean, yes, Lo Marichim, because it's never, but Lo Magdishim didn't say. And there, what Rabbi Yochanan agrees 100% with the Mishnah. But where Rabbi Yochanan says, Magdishim is referring to Korban Pesach, or it was referring to Chagigas Yontif, that he says. Do we have a riot to Rabbi Yochanan? No. Is there any reason to say Rabbi Yochanan's wrong? No. So in fact, we paskin kipshutai, like it says over here, Magdish. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan.